which is the Word of God. Man, God is so good in that He has given us food and rain, raiments, and life and health. We thank God today for His mercies upon our lives. And we thank Him. We're here this morning to serve and worship a true and a living God. Amen. It's not an idol. You don't see no idols, no stones. Nobody counting beads. Nobody saying, a lot of stuff that's not in the Word of God. But it is, sir, we would see Jesus. We're here to see Jesus. We're here to honor God, honor the Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we are here today. And it's not a time when you sleep, you go to bed. It's a time when you look up your Bible. That's what church is for. And when we respect, honor, and we fear God, we reverence God. We are in His presence. And them that honor me, God said, I will honor them. So if you want God to bless you, you need to respect God. And you need to honor God, fear Him. See, when the fear of God is departed from a person, they don't fear God. So they do all kind of crazy things. No respect, disrespect. They don't care because there's no fear there. But when the fear of God is in your heart, you walk softly. And you're so careful not to miss God. And you watch your words, you watch your attitude, you watch who you are, because there's a fear of God in your life. And it's not God today and tomorrow I have something, then God the next day. And that's not the way you do it. It's patient, enduring. Remember, to them who by patience. That's a big word. We use it, but we don't know what it means. Patient continuance in well-doing. See, you have to control your spirit. You have to control your attitude all the time. See, you can't let it control you. See, so you have to have that. And the church need to be there and obedient and respect. Because if you have disrespect, you will not. You'll grieve the Spirit of God in your life. So you have to have that respect. And you have to bridle tongue. We have to bridle our tongue, our moods, because we will get in trouble. And a lot of people, they constantly live under guilt because of their tongue, their attitude. But I have a hope for you today in that the blood of Jesus Christ, if you want to, repent and ask God to forgive you. Otherwise, next week you're going to be in the same mood. A year from now, you cannot get out unless God deliver you. And after a while, it becomes a lifestyle. But we were talking that Wednesday night in Colossians, the first chapter where. In Colossians chapter 1, where it tells us that God had delivered us, let me read verse 11, because it's so good. Strengthen with might according to His glorious power. See, that's the might of the Holy Spirit. We need that might inside of us. The Holy Spirit, that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You notice that patient, long suffering? And that will put us in that mood of joyfulness. Then giving thanks, praise the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers. Look at the promotion. Look at the elevation. Look where you are. Did you look at the Word of God? Look at the Word of God and read it. Pay attention and look at the Word of God. Look at that. Read it. What does He do? Giving thanks unto the Father. Have you ever given Him thanks this morning? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Giving thanks unto the Father. In Jesus' name we give you thanks, Lord. Which hath made us. Look what God does. See? He made us. You didn't make yourself. You didn't get there because you were so smart or holy. But he made us to be partakers of the inheritance. There's an inheritance. That's what I'm trying to show you. Of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right. All right. Who are these saints in light? So the Bible cannot be wrong. The Bible has to be right. There are some saints already in light. Okay? And we are heading there. The partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, and hear what he did for us. Hear what he did for us. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? He delivered us from the power of darkness. I wonder what that is. I wonder what's the power of darkness. I wonder who controls, who is the prince of the power of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. You mean that this darkness, when the sun goes down? No, it's he delivers us from the prince of the power of the air. And there's a spirit. You see, and a lot of people are not conscious of it, but there's a spirit that wants to keep you out of the kingdom. So there must be a ministry to minister unto you. But you might not listen to the minister. You might know more than the minister. He has to minister unto you. What? An abundance of entrance. How is he going to do it? By you listening to the word, listening to the message. See, he has to be ministered on. You don't born knowing it. Well, I grow up, I'm so smart. No, no, that's not the way it works. So here it says, he said, who at deliver us? So you accept that we need deliverance. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? There's a power out here. The people that sat in darkness, they weren't just sitting with the lights off. It's a continuous ignorance towards God, no knowledge towards God. They couldn't understand. It was hidden. And Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables to them, the multitude? He said, because it's not given to them, but to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So something has to be given you. To know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So back there, 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into, wow, that's powerful, into the kingdom of God. He translates us into the kingdom of God. So something has to be ministered. You don't get into the kingdom of God because you're righteous. Somebody said, I come through the church and so I'm in the kingdom. No, you can be in the building, yes, but doesn't mean you're in the kingdom, because you have to be baptized into the kingdom. You have to be translated into the kingdom. So you can be in the church, but you're not yet in the kingdom, because you have to be born again. To get into the kingdom of God, natural birth does not put us into the kingdom of God. Self-righteousness does not. You might be the best person that never do anything wrong, but that doesn't qualify you to be in the kingdom of God, because there needs a birth. There has to be a new birth, born of the Spirit of God. And the Word of God tells us here that He delivers us from the power of darkness. And this powerful word, translate us. Look at it. Pay attention to the word. He translated us. Where? He translated us. He translated us into. See? The kingdom of God. So it's a work that's done by God, the Father. So So go back, he said, giving thanks, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Why are you thanking him? Because he delivers us from the powers of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. Because you who were sometimes darkness, but now because of you're being translated, but now are you light, you're children of light, so walk as children of light. So God has been doing a work in your life. When you sit there in those benches and come with your Bibles and ask God to help you and give thanks to him, the work is being done. And it's not by might nor by power. And God works and man doesn't know how he works. I want you to, he translate us into the kingdom. Notice here, the kingdom of his dear son. Now this is powerful. Because you could just read over that. He translates you into the kingdom of his dear son. And you just read over it. But it's powerful right there. Because the kingdoms of this world first has to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. It has to become the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He comes back to reign on the throne of his father David. That has to be done first. The order of God, the chronological order of God. Jesus Christ comes back and he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the throne of his father David. So God translated us into the kingdom. Notice, it's God who has to put us into the kingdom of his dear son. Who is his dear son? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus has a kingdom. Now we want to be into that kingdom. But it's only God that can put us into this kingdom. God can minister this grace in our life, where we are qualified to be in the kingdom of God. So you have to be born of the Spirit. The natural birth does not put us into the kingdom of God. But it's a spiritual birth. He said to Nicodemus in John 3, if you can find that, where he said, truly I'm telling you that you must be born again. John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to him by night. What verse? John 3, verse 3. Read there for me. That says, then Jesus said unto him, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto thee, except, hold on, look at that, what? Except a man be born again, because he's already born. If you were not born in this world, you cannot be in the kingdom to come. So you're born, but you need to be born again, a twice birth. One, born of the flesh, another of the spirit. Now, we already have our flesh birth. So he said to Nebuchadnezzar, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. He has to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus was confused because nobody ever told him. Just like today, we are confused about the kingdom, the second coming, the resurrection, and many other scriptures that we are. Here, just ahead of us, Jesus is to set up his kingdom. That's what we're heading. That's where we're heading. It's not necessary to go to heaven and drink milk. Even if you go to heaven, it's a short trip. But the long trip will be right here on earth, where his kingdom is forever and ever. And he will rule over the house of David forever and ever. And he said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man, you see the question, be born when he's old? That is a hard thing to understand. But Jesus had the answer. Can he enter the second time? You see how far off he was? Do you see how far his mind was from the kingdom? He said, can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Good question, Nicodemus. Let's find out the answer. Verse 5. Jesus answered. Notice, Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, everybody say except, except a man be born of the again birth of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he needs the water and he needs the word. That's the word, the blood, the word, and the Spirit of God. That's what he needs to be born again. Next verse, 6, 7, is it 6? Because that which is born, Jesus is breaking it down for him right now. Just like I'm trying to break it down for you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And it's remained flesh. It cannot be changed. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin, nor the leper his spot. That which is born corruptible cannot change. Okay? But so this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So truly I tell you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh remains flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now the flesh there, it's the nature of the flesh, the nature of man. Okay? The nature of man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God with the human nature, with the human spirit. That's why I die daily. That's why I'm crucified with Christ. That's why we need to die to the self-life. Because flesh and blood, the nature, the works of the flesh, you have to put off all of these and put off the works of darkness and change garment. That's why when you accept Christ as your Savior, there is given unto you a new garment, a new robe. The Holy Ghost provides that for you. And he said, when you're born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, the Spirit birth is the second birth. See, the blood, the Spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and the experience of the Holy Ghost baptism, that puts you into Christ. We are baptized into Christ through the Holy Ghost. And now there's something born in you. And you're a new man. You're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. You are a brand new man with a brand new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. God works on the inside and renew a right spirit in me. So you need that. Translation. God translates you, doesn't just take your bodily and put you there because you're still in the world. But it's what's going on the inside of your life. It's what's going on inside of you. There's a work that's going on that you're not the same today that you were last week. You don't feel the things that bothered you a year ago. Right now you're getting the victory. And they overcame him. They overcame the works of the devil, the works of the flesh, the works of the world, and they overcame him by the blood. Look, the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony is because they've been born of the Spirit of God. Now, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Don't marvel over that. I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, he began to explain more to him because he was trying to is best to let this man get it. Just like it's you have to sit in the house of God and get your Bibles open. You just don't get it and say, well, I have it. I come to church, so I got it. No. He said, the wind blow it. He's using some natural things now to begin to, you know, get down, like you use little examples. Naturally, he used it in Matthew 13 and in Luke and so Mark, where Jesus used some natural things like, the sower went out to sow. Everybody know what is it to farm. Plow the field. You get the grain. Put the grain in. Wait. You go to bed. When you sow corn, It just doesn't come up overnight. But the kingdom of God is like you sleep and you wake up. You sleep and you wake up. And then you look out in your garden and there the corn is coming up. But you can't stand there and watch it because you don't understand how it works. The same thing, you don't stand there and watch how the kingdom is going to work because it's something that God's doing on the inside of you. Where it says, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, and it's not in meat or in drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy. You can know if it's growing because you're going to find yourself of a joy. And before that, you were a whole mean Sally, but now you're changed. You're not as grumpy as you used to. You were touchy and you're grumpy. And everybody's afraid to talk to you because of that grumpy spirit that you have. But now, after a while, you surprise everybody because even the dog don't run away from you anymore because your spirit is changing. Right? What's going on inside? He's working on the inside. He's working on the inside of you. And something wonderful is going on inside. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And things that used to trigger you off and upset you, you find yourself not blowing your tops and going over and jumping off the bridge anymore. But you're stable. You know what's going on inside here? It's the work of the kingdom of God. It cometh not by observation, but say lo here or lo there, but it's right there. It's nigh thee and in your midst and in your heart. Why? Because Jesus was right there. The kingdom was there. And he is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the kingdom of God. So we still need to get to that one about translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. Bring me right back there in a minute. Said the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But notice Jesus gave them something simple, but it's real difficult right there. The wind bloweth, right? You have to know something about the wind and the weather. Right? It bloweth and where it listed. You hear the sound. You can hear the sound. And you can, but canst not tell from whence it came and where it's going. Huh. Then Jesus put that right there and said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't tell from where they came and where they're going. Do you get that? You can't tell what's going on in that person's life. Where did that new man come from? I know that old girl. Boy, she was the meanest little old woman. But now look at her. You're afraid to look at her and talk to her. She is grouchy and mean and stuff like that. Look at that man. Oh my goodness. He borrowed and never paid back anything. He never do anything. He never love anybody. He's always, look at him. But now what's going on? Where did that one come from? You can't tell where it came from. But it's the work of God that's inside. That's the Spirit of God that's doing an unusual work. And you cannot tell where it's going. No, you cannot tell where it's going. But we who have a knowledge of the Word of God knows where he's going. He's heading for the kingdom. See? He's heading for Mount Zion. He's marching to that holy city on Mount Zion. That's where we are heading, to the innumerable company of angels where the spirits of just men are made perfect. That's where we're heading. Are you heading there? Do you know where you're going? Yes. And he says that so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. A new man, a different man. Said what the Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Let's go on a little further. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a ruler, a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? He didn't know. Just like today, a lot of us don't know it. Although we're preachers, we're an apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, been going to church all our life, but there's so much about the kingdom of God that we don't know. We might pretend like we know it, but we use natural things to describe the kingdom of God when Jesus said, my kingdom is not N-O-T, of this world. He said to Pilate, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight for me, fight and defend me. And right away you said, oh, his servants is only angels. Oh, my friends, if you go in the Word of God, you're going to find out that the ones that fight is not angels. Gabriel only delivered a message to Daniel, but he was gone. It was Daniel who was doing the fighting. Gabriel wasn't praying. It was Daniel that was praying. For 3 weeks, 21 days, Daniel was praying before God until the breakthrough came. And all that Gabriel did was brought the message. But it was Daniel that was there, that was travailing and knew. He said, I understood by books that it was coming the time when Judah should go back to Jerusalem. And so he set his heart to pray, just like how we understand by books. And we're setting our hearts to prayer. We're praying and travailing. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their lands, forgive their sins, and so on. See? So it's my people. It's when the children of God pray, the building will shake. When the saints of God pray, why the heaven, Elijah prayed, and the heaven sent rain. When Elijah prayed, there was no rain. And when he prayed again, he unlocked the very heaven. It's when Joshua was fighting the battle, and when the sun was going down, he commanded the sun to stand still and the moon. Well, it's God's people who are going to pray and pray. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So God's people must pray and ask God to send his Son and establish his kingdom. Just like we have to pray. We have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We have to pray for the establishment of Jerusalem. Daniel prayed, and after a while, the Hebrews were going back to Judah. Okay? Now, he says, verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And he received not our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things, all right? So you have to divide this now, make a difference. If I have told you earthly things, so they are earthly things. And the earthly things, you cannot link it to the kingdom of God. It's two different worlds. My kingdom is not of this world. So you can use earthly things just to get through to the saints. Just like how you use a coloring board to get through to a baby, a child. 1, 2, A, B, C. Mama. Daddy. But after a while, you don't do that. You move on. So you use earthly things like a sower went out to sow. Oh, I understand that. Seeds, grains, corn, mustard seeds, small. So God used that because we are small. We are so limited. But he speaks to us as children, babies. But the time comes when we're grown up, where God can speak to us with intelligence and explain to us what he's doing. That the order of the kingdom, like how we've been in the church for 2,000 years. And all we can see is the church. The church is wonderful, but a great man of God says it's only a vehicle that's taking us on to the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not a temporary institution. Once it's established, it cannot be removed and it cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Many times the church has been shaken. But where are the seven churches in Asia? And even this church, we have to keep fighting for it, that it doesn't go out of existence. But many churches have gone out. But once that little stone smite the image of the beast, you understand that? It will never go out of existence, but it will abide forever and ever. That little stone will abide, which is the kingdom of God. Now, I have a lot to cover. It said, I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall ye believe? How? Shall if I tell you heavenly, if I go straight and begin to explain heavenly things, you'll be lost, you'll not believe. So Jesus said, I have to break it down with earthly things and begin to go real slow. But really, that's not the kingdom. The earthly things I'm telling you, the mustard seed is not the kingdom, but it used to explain the kingdom. Eh? That car you receive and that nice house, that's not the kingdom. That jar of honey you go and buy down the cornerstone, that store, that's not the kingdom. But the Lord used and taught languages to us. Sun, moon, star. One star differs from another star in heaven. Otherwise, you'll not understand celestial. Their body celestial and body terrestrial and earthly body and heavenly. You understand how God has to speak to us as babies? But there comes a time, Paul said, when I would have liked to speak to you as mature grown-ups, but it was hard because you were still thinking about meat and drinks and all that. But remember now, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's from another world. It takes you into another dimension. It translates you into another realm where your man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Somebody shout. By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. Amen. And that's the word of God that will change you. It's a wonderful word. Amen. So he said to Nicodemus, you must be born of water. You've got to be born a new birth of the word of God and of the spirit of God. The spirit which gives life inside of you. Amen. I told you, earthly things and said, no man had ascended. Then he goes on into heaven. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Next verse. And then he goes on into his death. How are he going to have to die? And we're going to have to go through the veil of his flesh and the blood to get into the other side. See, we were still on the side of the cross. And he had not died yet. But now he was saying, I'm going to go and open up the way. I'm going to go to open up the door because I'm the door to the kingdom. But you can only enter through my flesh when my flesh is broken for you. Amen. When the veil is rent, the veil of his flesh, then you go through on the other side. Amen. He's the way to God. He's the door to God. Amen. And if you want to ascend up into heaven, you've got to do it through Christ and not through David. Not even David ascended into heaven. Are you with me now? Follow what Jesus was saying. Even David is not ascended into heaven by his works of righteousness. But he can only do it. We can only do it by the red veil of Jesus. By the garments. Amen. His flesh was torn. And now he's saying, now I'm opening up the door. The door was not yet open. But it says that, where's it? David. Where? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen? Right, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is, the way had to be opened. Now let me go back to Colossians. In the first chapter of Colossians, verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. See, we were dealing with all of that. He delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, right? So notice that you have the kingdom of darkness. God delivers us from that through his son. Now, what does he do? We give thanks to God. Remember that we were saying it? Giving thanks unto God, to the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in life. What is the inheritance of the saints in life? What is it? The kingdom of God. It's not a will that somebody left for you and you get so much money. That's good too, but that's not what it is. It's an inheritance of the saints in life to share the same inheritance, to be partakers. Do you get that? Of the inheritance. He's talking about another world, not something you inherit right now. Okay? Because nothing you can get. If you get all the money in the world, it's not enough to compare with one day in the kingdom. Amen. Or or a day in the house of God is better than a thousand. See? Who had delivered us from the powers of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom, underline that, the kingdom of his dear son. Now we'll go later on where we find that God the Father gave Jesus the kingdom. And the kingdom that God the Father gave him is the kingdom that he had promised to David, his father. Jesus has two fathers. Well, has three fathers. Jesus had, in the spirit, he has God the Father. That's his spiritual father. There's not nobody else but God. But in the flesh, he has David. Romans chapter 1 tells you that. And Abraham also, he has as his father. He came from the lineage of Abraham, the lineage of David. So Jesus, that put Jesus Christ in line for to inherit the land and also the kingdom. Amen. Because he comes from, he's both God and man, human and divine. Amen. But it's God that's going to give him the kingdom. But notice what God did, what God is doing, because you have to have, a kingdom, you have to have what? Subjects. You have to have people to rule with you in the kingdom. So here's what God does now, because God cannot use flesh and blood. They cannot enter into the kingdom. But this is what God does. He had delivered us, get over there, and got the strong man, the stronger man, gets over and takes from the lesser man, which is the devil. We were sometimes darkness. We were prisoners of the devil. But Jesus Christ came and he went and delivered and made deliver us from captivity and make us captive. Do you understand now? God invaded the territories of the devil. God came down and he sent a stronger man and took over and he went there and he opened up the door, make a way for us, and he pulls us, draw me, Solomon says, and we will run after you. But he had to draw us from the darkness, from unrighteousness, from the kingdom of the devil, from loving the devil, and where we got to where we love God more, who had delivered us from the powers of darkness. Hey, all the satanic darkness, and he delivered us, then he armored us up. He put on the whole armor of God. He helped us, go ahead, that we might be able to withstand. Whenever the devil comes, he's not rushing and taking us out of the world, but he armored us up, that we can stand and fight the good fight of faith. We can lay hold of eternal life. He delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us. Look at that, what he did. Translated us into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Of his dear son. You see where you are? So because the son is going to come back and rule, and he has to have people, subjects, redeem that will rule with him. So God is doing it right now. So he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now the kingdom of his dear son, I told you that God gave this kingdom to him. Hey, Revelation will tell you. Daniel chapter 7 will tell you. The little stone, and you go all Daniel 4, and all over the Bible, where he's given, the Lord God given the throne of his father David. It's all over the Bible. I don't have all that much time left to go all over it. But he translated us. And then he delivered you. But he didn't just leave you outside. Because he brought them out of Egypt, but he bring them into the promised land. But rebellion caused many not to enter because of rebellion. But if we by faith gird up the loins of our mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot stop us. Hallelujah. The devil cannot stop us. My God, the devil cannot stop us. Amen. Because we are armored up. Do you understand that? You have the whole armor of God, but it's because you're not using it. You're lazy. And you're not using it. But if you ever gird up the loins of your mind and begin to praise God, one can chase a thousand and two put 10,000 to flight. But you've got to work. You've got to gird up and get out of sin. Get out of the wickedness of the world. Amen. Amen. Now, The kingdom, it says the kingdom of his what? Their son. Now, there's a kingdom that Jesus has. And it's 1,000 years that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus. God had appointed that day. All right? Now, that kingdom that he has, that's where God takes you out of the world, out of the devil's kingdom, and translates you, puts you into that kingdom right now. Amen. Now are we the sons of God right now. I do it not yet appear, but you are a son of God. There's a change going on inside of you. Okay, so he puts us into the kingdom of his dear son. And this kingdom is 1,000 years rule. But 1 Corinthians 15 says, then come at the end. Amen. See, Jesus has 1,000 years. The pastors work on you in the church, the ministry. But in the kingdom, Jesus is going to rule and reign and work on you under a staff in the kingdom. So by the end of the 1,000 years, when the white throne judgment comes and you are presented to God the Father, you'll be perfect. You will be in the image completely of God. Amen. So you have the kingdom of Christ, but then you also have the kingdom of God. Okay, so you have the kingdom of heaven and you have the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of heaven in the Bible, Matthew, and also the kingdom of God. See, so there is a kingdom where Christ sits on David's throne. But then there's a kingdom where the Father comes to the earth at the end of the millennium, that white throne judgment, and then he judges the earth, and then those that are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will go on into eternal life, but those that are not in the book will be cast into the lake of fire, which is second death, and there is no recovery from second death, the lake of fire. Amen? And then Jesus, at the end, turns the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation 20 goes together right there. He turns the kingdom over to the Father, but then there's no more enemy, because the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death. So death still, at the end of the millennium, there's still death, because death has to do its final work, and it's to destroy all of the rebel. But God right here, even before the millennium, God delivers us from second death. Because if you are in Christ, if you love Christ, if you believe in Christ, you're passed from death. Not first death, because the body dies, appointed unto man wants to die. You're passed from first death, and you're translated into the kingdom of God. You're passed from second death. See, second death, you do not want to die that day, because there's no resurrection from second death. But there is resurrection from first death. Amen? There is a resurrection from first death. So it's appointed unto man only wants to die. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, so he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's what we're studying and we're going into it. But 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us about the kingdom of the Father, kingdom of God. How during the millennium, what Jesus, the focus will be in the Father coming to the earth to receive back his kingdom. And we'll be hastening unto that kingdom. So you find out that Psalms 145 says that they will talk of the kingdom always, even in the millennium. That's the focus center is the kingdom of God. The church has missed it. And we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about money and cars and wealth and all of that stuff. How many airplanes we can have. And go ahead and have those things. But they're going to rust out. And they're going to, how much money can we take when we die? But let me tell you something. It's a kingdom. You lay up treasures in heaven where thieves and rust and all that cannot touch. See, that's why we have a chance to support the house of God and give to the Lord and support it right now, because we're not taking anything with us. We're not taking anything with us. So 1 Corinthians, I love that. Did you find that? It says in verse 24, read that. It says, then come at the end. The end, what end? Not the end of the world, but the end of that age, the millennium age. Then come at the end of that. And God is going to do a different thing. When Jesus will deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. You see, the Father gave it to him. And now he's conquered, and the last enemy he's conquered is death. So there's no more enemy, no more sin, no more rebellion, no more sickness. The former things are passed away. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea of wicked, ungodly humanity. There was no more sea. See, the saints overcome. And when he shall have been put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he had put his enemy under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So God has always had his people. Last week we were studying about Gideon. And then we found out Wednesday night about in Hebrews 11:33-34 going down. And where these... Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says, read that. Verse 32 says, and what shall I more say? No, it says, I can say the same thing. The time would fail me. What can I more say to tell you about Gideon? I was telling you about Gideon last week, still not finished. I'm on it. I just went over in another way. About Gideon and about Barak and about Jephthah and about Samson. And about Samuel, and about David, and about all the prophets, and about you and I. Eh? What about us? Eh? Because they without us would not be made perfect. See? But guess what they were looking for? They looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker of God. And what were they doing? He said, by faith, what did they do by faith? They subdued kingdom. By faith, they subdued kingdom. That's what we're doing here. God gave us weapons, but we are not using swords, natural swords, but we have the sword of the Spirit. And God gave us weapon to subdue the power, the kingdom of the devil. And it says that they quench the violence of fire. All right, now, we're not going to walk out there in fire, okay? But we have the fire that comes within and the darts of the enemy. And when the devil shoots a dart at you, you quench it. Amen. By faith, you quench that dart, the fiery dart, and because you have the shield of faith. And what are you doing now? You're not fighting natural battles, but you have the sword of the Spirit because you're fighting the good fight of faith against the devil. And you have the sword of the Spirit of God that you fight and destroy the devil with. Amen? And what more can I say? I said the time would fail me. See? How they fought, and the women received their dead to life again, and they received their dead to life again, and others were tortures, not accepting deliverance, and some wrought righteousness and would not accept deliverance because they seek for a city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God, and that city. That city is just ahead of us. We're heading for a city called Mount Zion that cannot be shaken. That's where God will establish his throne upon Zion. The Father and the Son will govern there. See, God, even God the Father is coming to the earth. He said, no, he's not. Yes, he is coming in the 20th chapter. The great white throne that's established there and one that sat upon it. That's the Father coming because there's been many years, thousands of years of rebellion. And now the Father can enter with peace and joy. And they'll be shouting, my goodness, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who's that King of glory? The Lord. See, the Lord. There are two Lords right there. The Lord, my Lord said unto my Lord. So my Lord said unto my Lord, come on in. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus will be invited in, will invite his Father into a kingdom that's perfect, where there's no more rebellion, no more sin, but he casts down all opposition, and where God is God. And then God comes down and opens up that book and see if your name is not written in it. Then after that, he settled the score. Of course, the devil is gone. And all the beasts and false prophets are already gone. And all the nations that rises up against God, they're gone. And only the saints of God. Hallelujah. And what is going to happen? Sing, O Zion. Sing. Right? Put on your beautiful garment and sing. What's going to happen there? Why, Jerusalem is going to sing and praise God. And you and I, the virgins, will rejoice and be glad. Amen. And we'll sing and shout. Amen. Because the church age is behind us. Even the millennium is now behind us. And the devil is gone. And death is gone. And everything is gone. And we are going to enter into that city that's built four square. And that city that has no night. But there's a light of the sun of God. And the light of the Father and the saints of God. And the righteous shall shine as the brightness of the sun and the stars in the kingdom of the Father. Don't you want to be there? I want to be there. So praise God today. I want to be there. Give the Lord a praise. Amen.